The great Swiss theologian Karl Barth said that Christians should live with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Now, obviously, that's a dated statement because for you, you're like, what's a newspaper, right? And most of you would just hold your smartphone in one hand and toggle back and forth to get both the Bible and current events. But nevertheless, the sentiment still holds. To have an eye toward the current events of the world and an eye toward the eternal truth spoken by God to us in the Scriptures. So with that in mind, I want to hold up two realities that have been dominating the news cycle. And I want to bring to bear to them the truth of the Word of God. The first, the absolutely horrific news out of New York. The signing of that law that allows abortion unrestricted up to the moment of birth. The second, the situation on our southern border, where families, refugees, fleeing desperate situations, find themselves turned away from even basic necessities and left to fend for themselves in impossible realities. Well, now I have everybody's uncomfortable attention. What pains me most is the way that both of these situations are exploited and, even worse, celebrated. In New York, this murderous bill was greeted with raucous applause as the governor, who purports to be a Catholic, signed it into existence. He went so far as to say this: I am directing that New York's landmarks be lit pink to celebrate this achievement and shine a bright light forward for the rest of the nation to follow. And then in the rest of the country, tens of thousands of people gleefully chant, "Build that wall, build that wall," as innocent families suffer and die. How did we get here? If that doesn't bother you, I hope that you awaken. How did we get here? Well, Bishop Barron of California had a great article speaking about the tragedy in New York. He had this to say: an ideology, taken in the negative sense, is a conceptual framework that blinds one to reality. The purpose of any ideational system, obviously, is to shed light, to bring us closer to the truths of things. But an ideology does the reverse, effectively obfuscating reality, distancing us from truth. Blind to reality, distant from truth. Apt descriptions of our country right now. Well, we are called to do something different here. In fact, we are required to do something different here. And so let's bring the full truth of the Word of God to these realities. Heed the Scriptures, friends. For the first situation, out of New York and Virginia and Rhode Island, New Mexico, from Jeremiah 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. Prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Psalm 71, which we just heard beautifully sung. For you are my hope, O Lord. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. And then in the New Testament, in that great encounter between Mary and her kinswoman Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy." Listen to the scriptures, the truth of God. And for a situation on the southern border, from Leviticus 19, "You shall treat the alien who resides with you no differently than the natives born among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you too were once aliens in the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God." Zechariah: "Thus says the Lord, judge with justice, show kindness and compassion toward each other. Do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the resident alien or the poor." But they refused to listen. They stubbornly turned their backs and stopped their ears so as not to hear. And they made their hearts as hard as diamonds. Then, of course, Matthew 25, from which we have our corporal works of mercy. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. Ill, you cared for me. Imprisoned, and you visited me." The righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Naked and clothe you? Ill or in prison, visit you?" And the king will say in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Brothers and sisters, heed the words of the scriptures. See, the thing is, we cannot choose which passages we hope to apply to our lives. We cannot do that. We don't have that option. You might be tempted, "Oh, I like these ones because this is closer to the cause that rests closer to my heart." But we don't have that option. It's the full gospel or nothing. St. Augustine says this, and listen, "If you believe what you like in the gospels and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself." I want to say that again. If you believe what you like in the Gospels and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. But maybe it's not yourself that you believe in. What would even be worse if you believed more in a political ideology than in the gospel? What a tragic situation that would be. Because, as Bishop Barron says, political ideologies blind us to reality. But there is another way. We hear about it in the second reading. St. Paul, the great 13th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, and he lays out the way of love, which is always a way of reaching beyond oneself, a way of sacrifice, a way of offering, a way that doesn't admit or allow us to be selfish. It's worth going through every one of those characteristics that St. Paul mentions, every single one, and pray with them. They're beautiful and strong, and they teach us the way forward. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated, not rude. It does not seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Friends, love is the answer. Why is it the answer? Because what St. John says in 1 John 4:18, he says, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear, my friends, is what is beneath every one of the political ideologies present in our culture. It is fear and nothing less. Sure, all the political rhetoric is offered out there. Women's empowerment, freedom of choice, national security, rule of law. But that's not the real issue. See, the political mavens, they know exactly how to motivate people by stirring up fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And it has to cast fear out of our hearts. What are we afraid of as a country? Fear of the unborn. Fear of the migrant and the refugee. Do you see how destructive that fear is? And what does that say about our society? If we're afraid of unborn children, and we're afraid of migrants and refugees who are fleeing desperate situations, how strong is the land of the free and the home of the brave, if that is the case? But brothers and sisters, it does not have to be the way we live. We can choose the way of love, which is the way of the cross, the way Jesus loved us. And in that, we will be free. And in that, we will be brave to do what is right. When St. Paul lists all the characteristics of love, curiously absent are the words comfortable and convenient. But he does say this: love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. My friends, how much rejoicing over not just wrongdoing, but sheer evil is happening in our country. May we not rejoice over that, but may we rejoice in the truth. And the truth is this, that child in the womb is a person. And the truth is this, that those people on the southern border are our brothers and sisters. And the truth is this, that our faith demands that we love and protect both.